Thank you for helping to lead this time of worship once again. Yeah. Tom and Hetty and Rose, Stacy, all the Montgomerys who were singing on the opening hymn, and of course, Rick. So thank you. I want to share with you today something that strikes me out of this reading from Ephesians. And you might have found that that translation was just a little different from what we usually do. It's from the Jerusalem Bible. And I chose it because one particular phrase in the translation that says, "We are God's work of art." And I'll unpack that a little bit. But first, I want to know something. I want to see where you are at this point. It is the 5th of July, just past half the year. And I'm wondering how many of you have been able to keep your New Year's resolutions up to this point of the year. Can I see a hand? All right, let me make it a little easier. How many of you remember your New Year's resolutions at this point in the year? Can I see a hand? Okay, all right. No problem. Thank you for not lying in church, even on Zoom. Very, very faithful of you. I think that makes a point that we really don't like to make. I know I don't, and perhaps you feel the same way. We do not have the power within ourselves to change ourselves. Now, we can make some changes and do better in certain areas of our life for a time. For example, you can go on a diet and lose weight and manage to gain it back. Can I get a witness? All right. You can learn a new skill. And then you might not keep up with it. You can make agreements with other people. You'll make amends. Say, we're not going to do this anymore or anything. You know, sit down with your family or whatever. And then wind up not keeping the agreements that you made, even immediately. Just they don't happen. You can say you'll give up a bad habit or even an addiction, and you don't. Well, maybe not you or me, but you've heard of people like this, I'm sure. You get the idea that it's the way we are. The power to change ourselves just does not lie within ourselves. That only comes from the grace of God. That is the one and only source for that to happen. Now, you might think of someone who has changed their ways, and what that person has most likely done is managed to keep away from the triggers that push them back to their default, whatever their default is, which is the thing they wanted to change in the first place. They still have their default. That's what we cannot change. For example, someone who exaggerates, they might even want to stop, but under pressure or stress, they'll go right to exaggeration or any other default or escape that they have. That's the way that it works. And maybe you are recognizing some that go on in your own life as well. Unless we rely on God and not on our own selves to remove that tendency and replace it with humility that comes from the Spirit, we will always have it. It'll just always be there. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said, "That which I want to do, I do not do, and that which I do not want to do is the thing that I do." And, you know, he had been an apostle for quite some time when he wrote that. And he also wrote this from Ephesians 2 that we read, Rose read just a little bit ago. God knows that we cannot save ourselves by ourselves. I mean, we come to know it, even if it gets hard to admit. God also knows that. Yet he saves us by his extraordinarily rich grace. And God knows that we cannot change ourselves by ourselves. And God knows that we must have an outside power at work that changes us. And the change you want for yourself, as you may have discovered But I know I need encouragement along these lines all the time. The change you want for yourself is a change that God wants more than you do. The very thing you want to give up, change, stop doing, start doing, whatever it is, God wants to see that more than you do in your life. And none of this is done on our own. It's all a gift from God. None of us earns a place with God. God gives it to us freely, without cost, without obligation, without requirements of any kind, without saying, God will never say, well, now if you do this, then I will give you that. That's not a conversation that happens with God. The conversation that happens with God is this. God says, I will give you this. That's it. That's what it is God giving it to us, not expecting anything. Paul writes in the section that Rose read a minute ago, not by anything that you have done, so that nobody can claim the credit. It all goes back to God, all of it, everything about it. And what is very powerful in this is that this section says, you can actually see it if you have it in front of you, the very last sentence of that section from Ephesians says, we are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God has already designated to make up our way of life. You might be more familiar with the translation that says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The Greek word is poema, which in English almost borrows it directly. It's poem. We are God's poem is another way of translating that. Other translations will say, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. The implication is that we do not make ourselves a work of art or masterpiece or a poem and then bring ourselves to God to present ourselves to God to say, look what a wonderful work of art we've made ourselves into. It's that God makes us into God's own work of art. So that the Spirit of God will shine through us. God is the potter. We are the clay. The clay never says to the potter, hey, look at what a wonderful pot I've made of myself. If you have a habit or an addiction, what is needed is the grace of God to deal with it. And that's the way it is. We fall back many times. We lapse many times. But each time that we lapse, each time we think, I really want to go do that, God's extraordinarily rich grace keeps us, holds us, welcomes us back, doesn't require anything else from us, and puts us back on the path of transformation, the transformation we cannot reach on our own. Now that is good news, and it's also sometimes hard to take, because we get to the point where we would just much rather do it ourselves and present it to God and have God bless it, or learn something and then take that to God and say, look what I learned. And especially some of the spiritual disciplines, we might say, well, I have learned the right way to pray, so God would answer that. Or I've learned the right way to understand the Bible, so God would give me wisdom because I've learned that. That's me trying to do my own self-transformation so that God will then bless me. And it works the other way around. God transforms me, gives me wisdom, gives me the ability, gives me the capacity that I do not have and cannot get on my own. And that's how we live the Christian life. And when I fall or sin or, you know, whatever you're comfortable calling those things, God is right there again. And that's the Christian life. Every time I fall, forget, can't do it, God picks me up. Every time I leave the 99 and run away, God comes and gets me. He doesn't wait to see if I'm looking back. He doesn't wait to see if I'm trying to find my way back. God doesn't stop and think, well, when he was in with the other 99, how did he behave? None of that. It's the good shepherd just comes and gets me. No matter what reason I left, no matter how far I fell. Even if I prayed for the wrong thing, even if I thought I didn't hear his voice, or I would never hear his voice, or whatever it is, he's always right there. So what does this call for? We just need to get into the place where we can receive it. And sometimes that calls for recognizing and admitting to ourselves that we cannot save ourselves. The great benefit of that is that we stop trying to save ourselves and ask God to save us, which is the rhythm of the Christian life. We recognize that we need that power from outside ourselves to save ourselves and change ourselves. And God makes that possible because he makes a covenant with us. Remember, God provides everything we need to keep up a relationship with him, including transforming us and working the change within us that we want to see happen. It means turning to God, admitting that we've done things wrong, admitting that we've been hurt by people that we cannot forgive. It's okay to admit that to God. That person hurt me and I can't forgive them. Well, of course you can't. You need the power of God to do it. It's not within ourselves to change ourselves like that. Admitting we've hurt others, admitting we know God's power, not our own, to overcome these things, that's just part of the pattern of the Christian life. And it's ongoing. We'll have the temptation and maybe even succumb to it to go back to our default when things get tough. And we need to go back to God for grace each time. And that grace is extraordinarily rich every time we go to it. New every morning are the mercies of the Lord, the prophet Jeremiah said. That is the place where we stand. It's the grace upon which we stand that brings us to Jesus each time. Freely given, no requirement, just as I am without one plea. That's the God we belong to. So what is God bringing to your mind right now? What are the things that tie into this idea? We cannot save ourselves, but need God to change us. What's he saying, if you don't mind my using that phrase? Will you now ask God for the power to receive from him anything that's being revealed, so that you can live it? Will you ask God to keep bringing you to the point of grace, of God making you into his masterpiece every day? Just every day. And then asking God to give you the ability to follow in the steps the Spirit of God brings to your mind. It's easy, it's basic, it's not complex. It's also hard to do because we'd always rather do it ourselves. But that's what God calls us to do, to trust in Him and not on our own understanding for these things. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that even as we know that You are the God of grace, that You would give us a heart to seek after Your grace. And that when we fall back to where we were before, that we would not condemn ourselves, knowing that You do not condemn us, but that we would receive once again Your mercies and Your grace, which are new every morning. And we ask for eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and hearts to live it all the days of our lives. Amen.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.